Now, there's so much here, both on the saint and the reading from the day. Let's try to unpack, as Father Kaz always says, let's try to unpack some of this. Right off the bat, nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. That proves right there your idol worship of Mary, because there is no other way to the Father except the Son. This is true. Only Jesus takes us to the Father. Mary doesn't take us to the Father. Mary takes us to Jesus. Jesus then takes us to the Father. This is very simple. Yet Catholics stumped all the time when we're challenged about a role or the role of Mary. And so this is beautiful. Then he says that when you see me, he says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. When you see me, you see the Father. This is the image of divine mercy. This is what the encyclical from the Holy Father, Misericordia Vultus, the face of the Father's mercy. As you hear me say, if you could somehow encapsulate the mercy of God the Father, somehow capture it, somehow manifest it, you would have the image of divine mercy. This is the face of the Father's mercy. And this is where Jesus says, he says, I've been with you for so long, but who has seen me has seen the Father. Well, how have we seen Jesus? In the image of divine mercy. We're seeing him. And so, and then what about works? Today we celebrate the book of James in a sense. This is perfect because the book of James is my favorite book outside of the Gospels. It's so Catholic. And that, they believe, was written by not James, the brother of John, but James the Lesser, the one we celebrate today. And what does James say throughout the gospel, throughout his book? Faith without works is dead. The only time faith alone is mentioned in the Bible is by James. You are not saved by faith alone, but by the love, the works of love. And Jesus mentions works here throughout. And he says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and they will do works greater than these. So this is beautiful on the feast day of St. James. And so these things prove Mary. These things prove works. These proofs, the mediation of Jesus is the only mediator to the Father. But Mary doesn't take us to the Father. She takes us to Jesus, who takes us to the Father. The whole Catholic faith is here. But yet it's so short-sighted. 2,000 years of teaching. This is what the apostles gave us. The apostles are the handing down of the faith. What did Brother Ryan just read in the first reading? What is Paul talking about? He says, what I have received, I have handed down. That's apostolic tradition. That's how the church started. The tradition of the church began 350 years before the Bible. This morning I was answering some of the comments on YouTube, and there was one comment on there. I left it up. It's okay. It's good. Spark conversation. I did a talk a couple Saturdays ago on the proof of the existence of God, and I used the concepts of the first mover, the efficient cause, the first cause. This is all Catholic, scholastic philosophy, church tradition, church teaching for centuries. And this person wrote this big thing on there that how it's all wrong. This is all wrong. And goes to lay out their argument why everything was mentioned there's wrong. Well, no offense, but I'm going to go with thousands of years of church teaching rather than your opinion. This is not my opinion. What I taught that Saturday was not coming from me. So this priest is absolutely 100% completely wrong. No, it's not me. It's the church. It's the church that was started by the apostles. And so today we celebrate Philip and James. These are two important apostles. Now, The reason why we celebrate them together, many people don't know, is because their relics were brought to Rome together. And so the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke say nothing about Philip. The reason we read from the proper today was because John is the only one who mentions Philip. And it was Philip who first introduces Nathanael, or some call him Bartholomew, depending on which book you're reading, to Jesus. This is interesting because, wait a minute, there's no mediator. Only Jesus is the mediator. Well, who mediated bringing Nathanael to Jesus? Philip. Philip was a mediator. Oh my. Oh my. Yeah, Philip was a mediator. Because we bring people to Jesus, and then Jesus brings us to the Father. Now, Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus. Now, who was another mediator? Andrew. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. But here's what's interesting. Nobody brought Philip to Jesus. Jesus got him himself. This is why he's a special apostle, because Jesus came right to him. Now, normally, God reaches people through other people. We are mediators. In an essence, you could say my parents are mediators between me and Jesus, because I wouldn't know Jesus without having been brought to Mass and taught about the faith through my parents. All right? Now, according to Butler's Book of the Saints, Philip was among those who attended the wedding at Cana, right? And he asked a lot of questions of Jesus in the scriptures. Lots of questions between him and Jesus. Philip is asked by Jesus how to feed the 5,000. So it's like they were asking each other questions. It's kind of like me and Father Michael Kalea, who is the secretary here, constantly going back and forth. And so Philip is asked by Jesus how to feed 5,000 people. Now then, during the Last Supper, Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father. That's what we just read. Show us the Father. He provides Jesus the opportunity to teach the disciples about the Trinity. The Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So how do we know this? Tradition. Tradition says that through healing and preaching, Philip was an amazing man. He converted the wife of a famous proconsul, and this enraged him. And he had Philip and Bartholomew tortured. Now remember, Bartholomew was brought to Jesus by Philip. And Bartholomew, or Nathanael, together with Philip, were hung on a cross. They were tortured, I believe upside down. Yes, they were. And so Philip and Bartholomew were being crucified upside down. And Philip was preaching from the cross as he was hanging there upside down. Now, as a result of Philip's preaching, which moved all the crowd that was present, they were offered to be released. Here's what's interesting. They released Bartholomew. Now, later he was still martyred, but he was released at that moment from the cross. But Philip insisted that they not release him. And Philip died upside down on the cross. Now, there's other traditions that say he actually was beheaded. But either way, he was a true witness. Either way. So today is also the feast of St. James, not the brother of John, but James the Less. He's a brother of the apostle Jude, Jude Thaddeus. And they came from Cana as well. So another connection between Philip and James. Now he is thought by some to be the brother of Matthew, the apostle. And so he's the author of the epistle, the book of James, as I just said. Outside of the Gospels, my favorite book, so Catholic. And so what happened? So after the dispersion of the apostles, they were all spread around the world. Guess what James did? He stayed right in Jerusalem. He became the Bishop of Jerusalem. And it's also known, he's also known as James the Just, a variation of James, brother of Jesus. Now we know the Bible never says Mary had other children, but the words that are used, in Hebrew and adelphos in Greek mean any close relative. Now, this is interesting because it is agreed by most that obviously he should not be confused with James, the son of Zebedee. But here's what's interesting. Regarding James, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, now I'm taking you back to seminary again, you're going back to scripture class with me. Mark in the Gospel says that at the crucifixion, three women were present. He said three women were looking on from afar. Mary, Jesus's mother, I'm sorry, let me go back. Mary Magdalene, he says, Salome, and Mary, the wife of Clopas. All right, now this is interesting because that is the mother of James the Lesser and Joseph. So that's when they found that ossuary a few years ago and they tried to disclaim all of Christianity, especially Catholicism, because it says here are the bones of the brothers of Jesus, James and John. When you go back and you read in the Gospels who James and Joseph were, it says they were the sons of Mary, but it's a different Mary. It's Mary, the wife of Clopas. You see, this is the things that are we have to know and understand in our tradition of our faith. Now, Matthew calls Salome, she's the other woman there, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And John, his gospel, calls her Jesus' mother's sister, Salome. Now that is interesting. So the mother of James and John would be called Salome, the wife of Zebedee, the sons James and John. And that means she was the sister of our Mary, the Blessed Virgin. Now, I was always taught that Mary had no siblings. I was always taught that. But the Ignatius Study Bible, when I was doing my research on this and going back to my seminary notes, the Ignatius Study Bible actually supports this. So I'm learning myself as I continue to go along. If this is the case, it means that James the Greater and John, the sons of Salome, if she was Mary's sister, were the full cousins of Jesus. So maybe they felt that this close relationship entitled them to a special place in the kingdom. Remember when they said, we want to sit at your right and your left, and their mother was the one who asked for a seat next to Jesus. But in any event, today we celebrate the other James, James the Lesser, brother of Joseph, but the sons of Mary. Oh, it means Jesus' blood brothers. No, this is Mary, the wife of Clopas. So two James, who both had mothers Mary, but don't confuse them. That's why people try to condemn the Catholic faith teaching on Mary's perpetual virginity. They're confusing the two Jameses and the two Marys. If you know and study the scriptures, especially from 2,000 years of tradition that we get in seminary, you'll see the answer. So to finish, when James refused to deny the divinity of Christ, the Jews cast him down from a terrace of the temple and then clubbed him to death. So the breviary, which is a prayer book that we read as priests and brothers, contains a very moving description of the death of James, James the Lesser. So I just want to read you a brief excerpt from that because I think it really puts into perspective what these men died for. If this was a lie, if they hid the body of Jesus and stole his body, and Jesus didn't really resurrect from the dead, these guys would not have died for a lie. There's no way you would be willing to die for a lie. The only thing you are willing to die for is the truth. And so here's what it says. When he was 96 years old and had governed the church for 30 years, in a most holy manner, the Jews sought to stone him. Now we're talking about James. Then took him to the pinnacle of the temple and cast him off headlong. As he lay there, half dead, with legs broken by the fall, he lifted his hands towards heaven and prayed to God for the salvation of his enemies, saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine? This guy's laying there half dead, broken legs. These guys are trying to kill him. And he raises his hand to heaven and says this, what a man. That's a man right there. And he said this, you know, the same words of our Lord. While the apostle was still praying, someone struck his head with a mortal blow. So he was clubbed to death as he was praying for the very man who clubbed him to death. His relics now rest next to those of Saint Philip. That's why we celebrate him together, because the relics came together in the Church of the Holy Apostles in Rome. And their names are mentioned in the first list in the canon of the Mass. So today, we have a beautiful day that not only vindicates our Catholic faith, but should inspire all of us to live like they did, a life of forgiveness and dedication to spreading the gospel.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org. for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.